Well, I will do what I can.
Okay, we're starting. So, where are we starting at?
Oh, pick a book. What do you want?
You want Acts?
Okay, that's fine.
Chapter 1?
Chapter 1, then.
Chapter John.
Yeah.
Okay, don't forget to lean into your...
Well, I will try to.
Okay. So this is our first interview kind of a thing here. And we're going to be reading through Acts chapter 1.
And following for as long as this bloody thing takes to record aside.
Right, and so here we go.
Okay. And they're after the races.
Okay. Okay, you start or I start?
Oh, I guess I'll start. The Acts of the Apostles.
Because we can discuss it in between the verses.
The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
One second. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have a note here that through in verse 1, until the day which he was taken up, after that he threw, and it means by means of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And then to whom he, verse 3, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion. I have a note, this is sufferings.
Right.
By his suffering.
By his suffering and death. Yeah.
What he went through on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 4, I think.
And being assembled together with them, that is the apostles, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Okay, I can read from here if you want.
I just wanted to make one quick note that when he's talking and being assembled together with them, that is all 12 apostles. Judas Iscariot had not yet impaled himself on his sword yet.
Right. Hung himself on the sword.
Right.
I should say hung himself. Okay. Here's some notes. This verse here, verses 6 and 7, that's what I sent to your brother when I was explaining that, because he was asking...
About the end times?
About the end times, and... Because somebody had told him that you know, because of 9/11 and all these things happening, that so many days, because there's something in the Bible about so many days or so much time, and that was happening because of 9/11. And so, you know, I shared with him this verse, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Will you restore, is this when you're, I mean, you know, when are you, is, you're coming back. This is it? This is when you're going to have,
actually,
be king and king of lord of lords?
Actually, I think that more refers to a geopolitical kingdom at the time.
Yeah,
the
that's
Romans.
What I mean, king, the Old Testament king they were talking about. And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons when the Father hath put in his own power. Is there a way you could read those two out of the Amplified?
Yes, I will get that right now.
Okay, we'll right hit a pause right there.
No,
pausing?
Just keep going.
Read verse 9 then. And when he had spoken these things, while they departed, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Oh, isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be weird to see. I mean...
And Judas is still here, too. Judas watched him ascend to the heavens.
And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And I have a note that those two men were angels.
Yeah, as far as I understand, that's true.
That's cool. That's cool, too. But it's neat to see, you know, because of all days, this is one of the things they call a myth in the Bible.
Now, which verse did you want now?
Did you hear me? This is one of the things that they say is a myth of the Bible.
The ascension?
Yeah. Okay. It's verses 6 and 7.
6 and 7 from the Amplified. So when they were assembled, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings, the things and events of time and their definite periods, or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed, fixed and reserved by his own choice and authority and personal power.
That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, because so if somebody comes up to us, like a minister or a reverend, whatever, and they say, well, now this is when the Lord returns, or the Lord is already... There's some people believe he returned in 1914.
Don't think so.
Okay.
And, now if you're watching your pronouns here, it says in verse 10, and while they, the 12, were gazing intently into heaven as he went, behold, two men dressed in white robes suddenly stood beside them, who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? The same Jesus who was caught away and lifted up from among you into the heaven will return in just the same way in which you saw him go into heaven. Now, suddenly we went from they, meaning the 12, to men of Galilee. Judas Iscariot was not a Galilean. So he is now missing at this time. He has departed the sea.
Yeah, he went and... Oh, that's scary. Okay. So I read verse 10, 11 then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 11 of Acts chapter 1. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. But it's not talking about Judas
Iscariot.
Iscariot. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So they were all in this upper room, right, with the women in this upper room.
No, just the men. The women were separate.
Because the women would not have been seen. It was not in their custom for the woman to be in the sleeping chamber of a man.
Unless you were married.
And, of course, these women were not married to these men. I mean, these men could have been married, they just weren't married.
Yeah.
Okay. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men, so this is what Peter is saying.
Right.
So let me read that again. And in those days, And then I have a note here. Those are the days between the Ascension and Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
So in those...
10-day period.
10 days. Okay. In those days...
Because he died.
Right.
And then 40 days after he died...
Was the Ascension.
The Ascension. And then Pentecost is 50 days after...
Passover.
Right.
Okay. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples and said... And the numbers of the names together were about 120. So they had to be in the temple at this point, because how could you have gotten 120 people in an upper room?
In a small apartment like
in
that.
In a small,
mm-hmm.
you know, place. Okay. And here's Peter giving the first sermon.
Mm.
No?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No, that's chapter 2.
Oh, my mistake.
He's just addressing the...
He's addressing these 120 people. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out.
Now, can I make a point here?
Mm-hmm.
How can you fall headlong, burst asunder in your middle, and hang yourself, as is claimed? Because all the natural man teachings say he hung himself.
You mean all the religious teachings?
Right, all the religious teachings
religious
say he hanged
teaching.
Himself. But this here clearly indicates that he had a gut wound. Your bowels don't gush out if you hang yourself. Sorry.
Medically
very difficult.
He hung himself on
a
sword because somewhere else it says that he thrust a sword into him.
No, that he hung himself.
Right, but there's another verse somewhere that talks about how he put the sword.
Maybe.
Because what happened is you stand the sword up on the handle that you would hang...
The hilt.
And you lean into it in such a way, and then you just sort of fall on it,
mm-hmm.
is my understanding. It doesn't sound like something that you would really want to do if you were, like, afraid of pain or...
Right.
A coward like I am, you know.
Okay, verse 19, go ahead.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds painful. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Ekeldama,
yeah.
Which is to say the field of blood.
Because it was purchased with the 30 pieces of silver he threw back to the priests.
Right.
The head priest. And they couldn't use it in the treasury because it was blood money. So they used it to buy this field to bury transient people or...
Right.
So...
For it is written in the book of Psalms, let this habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. And you know what a bishopric is?
Disciple or a
it's the
a
off your office,
mm-hmm.
bishop o-
right.
office of a bishop.
Yep.
So they were looking, at least the King James was looking at these men like they were bishops.
Let's see, that's verse 20.
You lost your paper out of it.
I'll get that. Well, I'm trying to act as somebody having a book in front of them without being able to get right up in front of it and be able to see the book at the same time. For in the book of Psalms it is written, let his place of residence become deserted and gloomy, and let there be no one to live in it. And again, let another take his position or overseership.
Okay. And I have here Psalm 109:8.
Okay.
And the note here in the margins is that bishopric is an office or a charge, which would make sense.
Psalm 109,
mm-hmm. 8. And then Psalm 69:25.
Yeah, that's also in the Amplified Version as well. Psalm 109:8. 109, you said? Oh, there it is. Let his days be few, and let another take his office.
Psalm 69:25.
69. Oops, too far back into Job. Book of Job. That's where you find Job's at.
Oh, I see.
In the Book of Job.
That's not funny. Well, sort of.
Psalm 62. Oh, here we go.
You know why they didn't play cards on the ark?
No.
Because Noah was sitting on the deck.
Yeah, that's right. 69:8, you said?
Uh-huh. No, 69:25.
Oh, 69:25. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to their grief of those whom thou hast wounded.
I don't know. Is that talking about Jesus Christ?
You said 69:25 or 69:26?
69:25.
Oh, I read the wrong one. That was 26. Here's 25. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay, let us continue then.
Where am I in?
We are in verse 21.
Verse 21 of chapter 1 of Acts. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So anyway, they're electing another guy to be an apostle, one of the 12 apostles, mm-hmm. the yep. rulers of the church here.
Yep.
And they needed somebody who was from the beginning, who was with them from the beginning, from the baptism of John, when John baptized Jesus Christ,
yep.
unto that same day that he was taken up from us.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed somebody who saw all of Christ's ministry.
Or as much of it as possible.
Well,
right?
They needed it from the beginning,
yep. mm-hmm.
when he was baptized, till he ascended into heaven.
Yep.
And to be ordained, he says, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Mm-hmm. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen,
mm-hmm.
that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So our apostle now is
Matthias.
To replace Judas is Matthias. Isn't that interesting?
Chapter 2, verse 1.
Wow, this is such an incredible... Do you find that it's an incredible chapter?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 2, just kind of...
And when...
Energetic.
The day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now who is the they? It refers back to the last noun, that's the apostles. It's referring back to the 12 apostles now.
Because they have Matthias.
Right. So they're all in one place. And it says in verse 2, And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind.
So here they are, these 12 men, and they're with these 100 and how many people? And they're all in this upper room, right?
Mm-mm. They're in the temple.
But how do you know, I mean...
We'll get to that.
Okay. Thank you.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there's a clue.
The house.
Right.
The house where they were sitting. Because mm-hmm. they sat down for praying, mm-hmm. and they stood up for teaching.
Right.
Okay.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Is this all the people in the...
Just the 12.
In the temple?
Just the 12.
So this cloven, this...
Cloven tongues like as of fire.
Yeah, this cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat just on the 12 apostles.
Just on the 12.
So that really had to stand out and mark them out as something...
Oh, yeah.
That's not something you would see every day.
No, it's in the classification of a miracle, probably. Or,
phenomena.
What is it? Phenomena, thank you, yes.
Okay.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. In other words, people from all the lands around them had come to Jerusalem for Pentecost. People of many different nations were here. Now when this, that is, this cloven tongues of fire and this rushing mighty wind sound, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
Wow, that had to be... Because they're listening to men who were
Galileans
speaking in...
Well, we'll get to that
all
point.
The various languages.
And they all amazed...
And they were all
amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia." How do you say the next one?
Phrygia
and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. Many people from the island of Crete were there.
How far away is Crete?
That's probably a day or two by boat off of
in the Mediterranean. But the Arabians, you know where Arabia is?
Mm-hmm.
That had to be quite a journey.
That's a fair journey, too.
Because they had to go by camels or by somehow... And they probably took months. They probably said, "Well, we're going to go to Jerusalem for Pentecost."
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. how many? They had to decide the year before, probably,
well,
and make
not
arrange.
That far, but
well, to make that kind of journey,
yeah.
Don't we make arrangements and leave somebody? They had to have somebody tend their animals back home.
Oh yeah.
And the whole, I mean, that had to be quite a undertaking.
Verse 11 again. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.
Wow.
And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine. Ah, they're drunk." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words."
You want me to finish?
Go ahead.
Because this is we're finally at the first sermon to the Christian church, right?
Right.
This is cool. It's so cool how you just kind of, I mean, here it was before the ascension, and these men were in... Maybe we
fear.
Can find that verse, how they were in fear.
Behind closed doors.
Is that in John?
I think so. I'm looking it up.
They were behind closed doors in their upper room because they were afraid of the Jews. and they were afraid they were going to be taken up and caught up like Jesus for their beliefs. And here he is very boldly, you know, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And this is a great sermon here. Sermon.
Keep going.
Did you find it?
Keep going.
Reading?
Yeah.
Okay. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day.
The third hour is the nine o'clock in the morning.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Wow! The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So that's when the Lord returns. All those things are going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you find your verse?
No, but I found something else that applies to our reading
here.
This is in the book of John, the Gospel of John, I should say. And it's in... No, actually, I'm sorry, the book of Luke. Sorry. Last chapter of Luke, chapter 24, and it says, And behold, this is Jesus Christ speaking, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued, or that is cloven, with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And when it came to pass, when he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, not the upper room, but the temple, praising and blessing God. So that's where they were when the promise that Christ said came to pass.
Okay, cool. Okay, so where was I? I'm at verse 21 in Acts chapter 2. And it came to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. One second. This is verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So Jesus Christ should not have died. He didn't have to die.
Not quite sure.
Because he was perfect. He was sinless. He would have lived forever had these things not had to have happened.
He had to, well, here, let's... What verse was that?
24.
But God raised him up, liberating him from the pangs of death, seeing that it was not possible for him to continue to be controlled or retained by it. He had to be raised up in order to fulfill the law, too.
Right. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, which is the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So Christ Jesus' soul was not left in the grave. Mm-hmm. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens. See, David didn't ascend up into heaven.
Nope.
But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye hath crucified, both Lord and Christ. So Jesus is both Lord and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Can you imagine that? What do you want us to do now? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
And verse 38 in the Amplified says, and Peter answered them, repent, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness and release from your sins, and ye shall absolutely receive the gift of Holy Spirit.
Wow.
But wow. Do you like to how it said, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it?
Yeah, I like that, because that's, we all want to do what we want to do, and I still have trouble with that one sometimes. I guess we all do.
And that's just, unfortunately, a flaw of the natural man, the way the adversary has raised us, unfortunately, in the world.
Okay,
verse 39.
For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Can you read the rest?
Mm-hmm. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear, or reverence, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And that only was possible because the people believed, because it says even in the word that Jesus Christ did not do many great works in his own country because the people simply didn't believe he was able to. They thought he was just the son of a bastard, son of a carpenter. And all that believed were together and had all things common. and sold the possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Oh, wow. So how much time do we have left, do you think?
Don't know. We have 10 minutes until our
program. So I think there's about 10 minutes left. So do you have any comments on Acts chapter 2?
Well, unfortunately, because of what happened in Acts chapter 2 with Peter, the Catholic Church likes to refer to him as the first fishhead, I mean the first pope.
Oh, yeah.
And
but this would make a neat movie, don't you think? I don't know how you would... Well, you'd have to have special effects to do the cloven tongues like as a fire.
I'm sorry, Cecil B. DeMille is no longer with us.
Cecil B. DeMille... Why can't you dream that you're a Steven Spielberg or a Cecil B. DeMille? I've always had those, you know, how I'd like to be in the movies, and well, not in the movies, but behind the camera anyway.
Unfortunately, though, in today's society, with such anti-God visions and things people are doing, not visions, but just the rhetoric that's out there, trying to make a movie which shows this in as close to biblical detail as possible would be politically incorrect, just like Mel Gibson's movie.
But, okay, I think you could do this. There's Christian television and Christian radio and what have you. We should write this up here as we should write it as a radio drama.
You could try. Sure.
I mean, they wouldn't see the cloven tongues like as a fire on radio, but that would be an interesting radio drama, wouldn't it? It would just be all quoted. I mean, most of this second chapter of Acts is... I think you'd have to use a different Bible version, maybe, than King James.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it's a little thick. Most people don't understand
sometimes.
It.
But this is really a neat scene, how you have the temple... Because I've seen...
Do we have time to get into part of chapter 3?
Well, can I just make this one comment? They have these dioramas for tourists in Jerusalem. Dioramas of the whole of Jerusalem on a big... It's a great big thing to look at. I've seen it on television.
All right.
But I know they have similar things at the temple. So I have kind of an idea what the temple... In general, what it might have looked like. And so you imagine these people there.
Well, they can recreate the temple from the descriptions that God gave Solomon and David for the original construction plans.
Right, that would be cool.
So
okay.
They could do that.
But I just had this mind picture of how it must have looked.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be pretty exciting, Peter standing up there. Because this message, I mean, here's those leaders of the church thinking they could get rid of this doctrine, these doctrines and things by having
Christ
Jesus
crucified.
And here's Peter standing up and saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what we were learning yesterday, that when you... That all you do when you talk to strangers, you know, you could be out anywhere, and you talk to whomever, and you preach Christ and Him crucified, and that's where the power is.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you don't know what to say to people or how to go about, you know, like those people that go door to door witnessing all the time. They've got their books and their pamphlets and things to show you, but if we're doing it, only God really knows what that person needs. So
mm-hmm.
if you just start off, you know, somebody was suggesting, we'll just start off telling them, if you have something in common, like your Navy game, somebody, you start talking about ships or the Navy or whatever you talk about in your game, well, then that could launch off to something biblical somehow in the conversation, or I could talk to somebody about bottle collecting, or and then we talk, speak Christ and Him crucified, and then
you're building a rapport with that person.
Yeah,
and they feel a little more open about talking about things.
Right. Okay. Did you want to start chapter 3?
We can.
Okay. How many minutes left?
Yeah, 5 minutes till our show time.
Okay.
All right. Well, actually, no. We won't get to chapter. I'll relate something from work then.
Okay.
Real quick here. You were speaking about, you know, just talking about the death and resurrection, ascension and things. And this gentleman at work, probably mid-50s or so, and he had asked if I had anything special, you know, going on, you know, for like, I was going to come in Friday for Good Friday and stuff, and, or is it Friday talking? I forget now. It's kind of days get blurred once in a while, you know. And I said, well, no, not really. I mean, Friday's just another, it's just another day, you know, I mean, it's nothing special. And I said, well, anyways, there's nothing really good about Friday if you look at it from the perspective of what they claim it to be, that is the day they crucified Christ, you know, because what's so good about killing the Son of God and having the Son of God killed, and except in the fact that it fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures that need to be filled in order for us to be redeemed. And I said, well, anyways, they crucified him on Wednesday because there's no way you could have a person killed on Friday at sundown, be 72 hours dead in the ground, and then be resurrected by Sunday. Just not physically possible, time-wise. Physics went off for it. Sorry. Doesn't work. And so I explained to him that he was crucified Wednesday at sundown and was then resurrected Saturday at sundown, 3 days later, 72 hours. And so, and he didn't realize that. He didn't know that. You know, a lot of people simply don't know the truth.
Right.
Of when the crucifixion took place.
And you were pleasant about it.
Oh, absolutely.
You were just speaking.
Yeah,
just
explained to him.
Was
this
at lunch hour? Or?
Yeah. And then I also explained to him that, we got talking about another, quote, religious holidays like Easter, how that's a pagan holiday, you know, a spring festival of
fertility,
but Easter is actually a Celtic or Norse goddess of fertility. The Easter eggs,
Germanic,
the rabbits,
something.
You know, all pertaining to fertility.
Easter is not the right term, but it comes from Anglo-Saxon word.
Right. And Christmas is actually another pagan holiday celebrating the winter solstice, but and use that to represent the birth of Christ, to kind of bring the pagans in line. You know, so the Catholic Church was very adept at incorporating other people's holidays in order to politically keep them happy.
Well, what kind of religion is what church?
I don't think he really goes to church that much.
Oh, okay. And he brought it up to begin with, well, that's kind of neat.
And so,
he was just kind of making conversation.
Yeah, that too. But he does believe to a point, but I'm not sure quite how strong his believing is.
You
and
never
so,
know. You could have your life could be a witness, you know.
And so, but it's amazing how just how untrained or how unschooled some people are in terms of the basic principles from the Word in terms of the death, resurrection, and ascension.
But that's really kind of complicated, because even I have had the classes and things we've studied, and even I'm kind of, it's easy to get your days and nights, and unless you really sit and study it and lock it, what would be neat to do is take a calendar and, you know, a calendar the way a Hebrew calendar, the way they reckon it, and then mark it up, say this is on this month, this date, this is when this happened, this is when... It would be neat to have it all laid out like a picture, a graph, that way. If you do, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yes,
I do. Is it over yet?
Actually, I think in one of Dr. Ruhl's books, I believe it's Jesus Christ Our Passover, there is
a calendar,
a couple of calendars he's made out like that, showing, you know, broken it down like that for you.
Okay. So I guess our tape is ending, and we're just going to talk. You can go tune in.
I will get it.
We're going to watch a murder mystery of all things. Haha. That's very religious, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
What have you, do you have it tuned into the channel already?
No, it's still the basketball game. Channel 9.
Okay, so we're going to... What's wrong? It's on already?
Coming up.
Okay, well, we'll see you later. Goodbye. We're just going to let the tape run out.
That's a nice looking place.